CD 2.
The bell rang while they were playing dominoes. Mort sat to attention. "He'll want the horse made ready," said Albert. "Come on." They went out to the stable in the gathering dusk, and Mort watched the old man saddle up Death's horse. "His name's Binky," said Albert, fastening the girth. "It just goes to show you never can tell." Binky tried to eat his scarf in an affectionate way. Mort remembered the woodcut in his grandmother's almanac between the page on planting times and the phases of the moon section, showing Deathy the great leveler comes to Ali Men. He'd stared at it hundreds of times when learning his letters. It wouldn't have been half so impressive if it had been generally known that the flame-breathing horse the spectre rode was called Binky. "I would have thought something like Fang, or Sabre, or Ebony," Albert continued, "but the master will have his little fancies, you know. Looking forward to it, are you?"
"I think so," said Mort uncertainly. "I've never seen Death actually at work."
"Not many have," said Albert. "Not twice, at any rate." Mort took a deep breath.
"About this daughter of his," he began.
"Ah, good evening, Albert, boy."
"Mort,"
said Mort automatically. Death strode into the stable, stooping a little to clear the ceiling. Albert nodded, not in any subservient way, Mort noticed, but simply out of form. Mort had met one or two servants on the rare occasions he'd been taken into town. Albert wasn't like any of them. He seemed to act as though the house really belonged to him and its owner was just a passing guest, something to be tolerated like peeling paintwork or spiders in the lavatory. Death put up with it too, as though he and Albert had said everything that needed to be said a long time ago and were simply content now to get on with their jobs with the minimum of inconvenience all round. To Mort, it was rather like going for a walk after a really bad thunderstorm. Everything was quite fresh, nothing was particularly unpleasant, but there was the sense of vast energies just expended. Finding out about Albert tagged itself onto the end of his list of things to do.
"Hold this," said Death,
and pushed a scythe into his hand while he swung himself up onto Binky. The scythe looked normal enough, except for the blade. It was so thin that Mort could see through it, a pale blue shimmer in the air that could slice flame and chop sound. He held it very carefully.
"Right, boy," said Death. "Come on up. Albert, don't wait up."
The horse trotted out of the courtyard and into the sky. There should have been a flash or rush of stars. The air should have spiraled and turned into speeding sparks, such as normally happens in the common everyday transdimensional hyperjumps. But this was Death, who has mastered the art of going everywhere without ostentation and could slide between dimensions as easily as he could slip through a locked door. And they moved at an easy gallop through cloud canyons, past great billowing mountains of cumulus, until the wisps parted in front of them and the disk lay below, basking in sunlight.
"That's because time is adjustable," said Death, when Mort pointed this out. "It's not really important."
"I always thought it was."
"People think it's important only because they invented it," said Death somberly.
Mort considered this rather trite, but decided not to argue.
"What are we going to do now?" he said.
"There's a promising war in Clachistan," said Death. "Several plague outbreaks, one rather important assassination, if you'd prefer."
"What, a murder?"
"Aye, a king."
"Oh, kings," said Mort dismissively.
He knew about kings. Once a year a band of strolling players, or at any rate ambling ones, came to Sheepridge, and the plays they performed were invariably about kings. Kings were always killing one another or being killed. The plots were quite complicated, involving mistaken identity, poisons, battles, long-lost sons, ghosts, witches, and usually lots of daggers. Since it was clear that being a king was no picnic, it was amazing that half the cast were apparently trying to become one. Mort's idea of palace life was a little hazy, but he imagined that no one got much sleep.
"I'd quite like to see a real king," he said. "They wear crowns all the time, my granny said, even when they go to the lavatory."
Death considered this carefully.
"There's no technical reason why not," he conceded. "In my experience, however, it is generally not the case."
The horse wheeled, and the vast flat checkerboard of the Stowe Plain sped underneath them at lightning speed. This was rich country, full of silt and rolling.